This week, Jeremy signs our episode for the deaf. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace
To remind
process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to episode 66. Today is December 13th, 2013. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy. I'm back.
He's back. Who's Rob? Welcome back, Jeremy.
And we have a very special guest with us. Our listener Jordan has joined us once again. Hi, Jordan. Jordan is joining us for a very special episode. This is our year in review. So we're going to be talking about the greatest stories of 2013. But before we get into that, a couple of things I wanted to talk about. First of all, Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. And, yeah, I'm not going to say Happy Holidays. Sorry if anybody's offended by that.
Don't be sorry.
And, okay.
Hey, Hanukkah was back over Thanksgiving, all
right? That's right.
And I heard some... I don't know if you're finished yet, but I have some Jewish friends, and they think it's ridiculous the attention that it gets over here. They say that's not even one of our biggest holidays. We don't.
Yeah.
She was a lady at the gym. She said, you know, people come over here from Israel, and they're like, what's the deal with Hanukkah over here? What?
This isn't a Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, Rosh Hashanah is a pretty big one. Passover.
Yeah. We kind of gloss over that one as Gentiles.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, Festivus doesn't get the play that it deserves either, so...
Presently making a list of, we got a lot of problems with you people!
And the building of the totem?
The feats of strength?
Yeah. I've actually been to a party before that was a Festivus party, and there was a feats of strength.
Yeah?
How'd you do?
People got hurt. People got hurt.
All right, well, that sounds like a party then. So I wanted to point out that we've, once again this year, we put out a jib-jab greeting card that all of our fans should check out. It's our Christmas greeting to our followers out there, so I'll put a link to that in the show notes. I also want to spend a little time talking about Josie the Outlaw.
Wales?
The Outlaw Josie Wales?
No, not to be confused with the Outlaw Josie Wales. This is Josie the Outlaw. So, last episode, we were talking about you know, the whole climate change debate and how that movement needs a spokesperson, you know, somebody other than Al Gore. Somebody we mentioned that they need a Neil deGrasse Tyson to represent the climate change camp. And the same is true, or has been true, for the anarchist / voluntarist / stateless society camp.
That's true.
That we needed.
I thought it was you, though.
Well, I've been trying, but you know, I haven't quite.
That sweater's not helping your cause.
Thanks. What if my sweater was filled out like this?
Ooh. That would help. It's only not that pointy.
Okay. Yeah.
Fox News, here you come.
Right. So this is something that Josie the Outlaw brings to the movement. Which will certainly get more views on YouTube than most of the guys, you know, recording their rants in their basement on their webcam. So I'm going to include a link to Josie the Outlaw.
Please
make sure you check her out because she is a hottie. She's also very intelligent and does a very good job of communicating the message for anarchists and stateless society folks everywhere.
So. It's like old Jeremy might become an anarchist.
I got a little bit of a crush, I'll have to admit.
That crush is fine.
Yeah. Thank you, Andrea. All right, so what we're going to do now is the three of us have come up with our favorite stories. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, we got some listeners here. Come on over.
Come on over.
Ask them about stories of the year. Story of the year.
No, we want your opinion. What was the biggest story of 2013?
What was the biggest story of 2013?
You can name a few.
Let's see here.
Mandela,
okay.
That's probably the biggest deal,
right? Yeah, that's fairly recent, yeah. That was a big story, no doubt about it. What else happened in 2013?
Cardinals in the World Series.
We got that close. Mizzou got that close.
That's right.
Yeah.
Healthcare.gov.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you sound like you have more opinions on that.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Hey, what do you guys think about Obama spoke at the Mandela...
Signing.
Oh, we were just
talking about that.
That's pretty bizarre, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, a little bit.
Do you think he did a good job? Like, could you tell he was faking it?
Yeah, that's
right. I thought he did a good job. I mean, who knows what he was saying, he was so close. That was the thing. You know, he wasn't in like the little Channel 9, remember the old bubble that you
right.
was like, he was just right there.
Well, good luck, you guys.
Thank you very much. Thanks for stopping and talking to us. Bye bye.
Thanks.
All right, so what we're going to do tonight is the three of us have each come up with our top stories of the year, and we're going to talk about these in turn. And I'll go ahead and let Jeremy go first.
Are we going 3, 2, 1 or 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, let's count them down. So start with your number.
Builds tension.
Yeah, start with your number 3.
All right. I think my number 3 is the George Zimmerman verdict.
Okay. Zimmerman verdict?
Yeah, I think so.
That was definitely a big story.
Did you think the story ended up not being as big as you thought it would be?
I think so, because there were no riots.
Right.
Didn't really materialize that way.
I was prepared for that.
Yeah, I was pretty sure there were going to be, but it turned out differently from what I thought it would be. And it has been confirmed since then that he's a complete idiot. He just has the equivalent of winning the lottery. I mean, he could have gone to prison for life.
Right.
And
he's acquitted.
Now he's pointing a gun at his girlfriend.
Right, and he gets pulled over for speeding in Texas.
They did. Yes. She wants him back.
Yeah, well, he's getting all his weapons back, too. I read the rest of it in the list today, and it is long of all his guns and ammo he had. I get, a couple, but... Yeah, he was ready for all of Spike Lee's army.
Spike Lee's army.
Jeez.
Does Spike Lee have an army?
Well, he
do the right
poor,
thing.
The poor old people's address on Twitter. Remember that everybody starts sending death threats.
Yeah.
He has an army.
Yeah, so I think that was a pretty big story.
So, were you surprised by the verdict? I mean...
I was.
I was too, frankly. I thought he was going to go to jail.
I thought they had a cell ready for him, and it was a show trial.
Yeah, so I know we talked about this back when it happened, but the stand your ground law that that they used as their defense, that was somebody we know over there. The stand your ground law seems to be.
It stood its ground.
It has certainly taken its share of criticism nationwide since that happened. And I know it also put ALEC, I can't remember what the acronym stands
the
for
organization
now.
Organization of Smart Alex?
No.
I know who you're talking about. I'm not a fan.
The American Legislation Exchange something, maybe.
Council,
maybe, yeah. Anyway, it's a nonprofit group that drafts legislation for conservative legislators across the country that they can introduce then. And so that's why you see stand your ground laws on the books in 20-something states, because ALEC wrote the law, passed it from, one Republican to another, and, they all managed to get it passed in their state. And ALEC's done this with many other laws, which, has now brought some scrutiny. Because this one has been in the spotlight, and I guess a lot of people aren't happy with it. But, you know, in the end, I think it's just, it's common sense, right? I mean, somebody attacks you, you have the right to defend yourself. Whoa. End of story.
Whoa. Not to rehash the whole thing. But wasn't the whole point of the Trayvon Martin was who was attacking who?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think the verdict established who attacked who.
Well, it wasn't part of the controversy that started this whole thing. What started the whole thing was the guy on the neighborhood watch with a gun driving around.
No, I won't question that he
exercised poor judgment. I totally agree with that.
Right, and they got into a scuffle.
Yeah.
Which may or may not, I guess this is when it all comes down to it, may or may not be well within old Trayvon's rights to defend himself
right.
against the guy coming on him while he's walking around with Skittles in his tea.
Right. And so Trayvon stood his ground as well.
Indeed. But one had a gun.
He wasn't as well armed.
Right. Yeah, so
maybe you back it up a little bit more and say, what caused this whole thing? People breaking in
right.
to all those
right.
condos or whatever they are, houses there.
Right.
So they had to have a neighborhood watch. So
right. And that's true, but that's not Trayvon's fault.
That's not his fault, no.
It comes down, we've talked about it before, but it comes down to, so what was Trayvon's crime? Trayvon got shot. Trayvon's dead.
Right.
What did he do, and no one's at fault, right? No fault.
Right.
So what did he do to deserve to be dead that day?
Deserves got nothing to do with it. Like
well, none
Clint
of
Eastwood
us,
said.
None of us know what went down. There were no witnesses. There were no, you know, surveillance cameras on it.
Right.
So we don't know exactly what happened.
Right.
What we do know is that Trayvon would not have been there had he not been stealing stuff and got caught with stolen goods at school, and his principal, instead of pressing charges against him, shuffled him to, you know, another school.
I'm down with that. I'm not trying to beatify St. Trayvon.
Right. Kind of sounded like you were, actually, when you said all
no,
he had was Skittles
and
his tea.
There's a long way to go from it. Punk ass kid to you deserve to get shot. There's kind of a big line.
I agree with that.
I could sign on to all kinds of that. The fact that you were a punk ass kid.
So you saw the photographs of Zimmerman though, with the bloody nose and the blood on the back of his head. Do you think he did all that to himself?
I'm kicking my ass.
Like liar, liar.
That's
what I was thinking.
Right. I mean, did he kick his own ass?
No, I believe there was a scuffle.
Okay.
Right. So you just scuffle with the wrong guy. And like you say, we don't know what happened. Maybe he was defending himself.
I mean, I can look at that and reasonably think that, yes, he thought his own life was in danger. And
right.
And he was justified at that point to defend himself. Now, how did he get to that point? A lot of mistakes
right.
made
yeah.
on both parties.
Right.
I got no.
But the guy with the gun gets to pull his gun on his girlfriend in the future, and the other guy gets.
Yeah,
to
I mean, so that does cast the whole thing in a different light because
right.
now he's a hothead, right?
Well, right.
I mean, he's got a short fuse,
right.
easily excitable. I mean, I can definitely see that about him.
Right. And this comes down to like, I don't know. I wasn't even going to jump in on poor Jeremy's top three. We didn't even get to number two yet.
But, are we going to do all mine? I thought we'd each do three, and then we...
No, 3-2-1, 3-2-1, 3-2-1. But,
oh, we have to go... I don't like that idea.
Because what got me all fired up is when you romanticized the staying your ground. That it was just people defending themselves against intruders. Because that's not what this was.
Right.
Anyway, onwards and upwards.
Well, it's not intruders. I think that's the point of the law, is it doesn't have to be...
Right. It expanded that
yeah.
beyond the confines of your domicile.
Right. right.
Anywhere
right.
you happen to be.
And when you think of that, you think like, oh my goodness, I'm under attack. Boy, I wish I could do something about this. Oh, I have my arms, and now I won't be found guilty for killing this guy. Like, it's a romantic idea. But in practice, this is it in practice. You had one guy armed, one guy not. You had some drama go down. Nobody knows what happened. You know, it's not very clear that oh, poor George Zimmerman was under attack. I mean, I think he got his ass beat, and he had a weapon, and he decided to use it. That's all. I think that might be all it is.
Yeah.
And do we really want that to continue?
Do you think if that court hearing happened today, after all the crap he's been through, all the stupidity he's pulled on himself in the past 6 to 9 months?
I think the verdict would have been different.
Guilty?
Yeah. I would. I mean, it'd be
like, oh yeah, he is. He already had a couple charges before.
That probably wouldn't have been admitted in the trial anyway. Look at me, yeah. Legal Eagles right over here.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. My.
I don't like the idea of doing all my three and then his three. And shouldn't we round robin it?
Mine are all together. And
Rob, you're always screwing up the works. All right, fine. Number two.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Snowden and the NSA.
All right.
What happened there?
Not much, really. It's like he
hung out at an airport for a couple of months.
Yeah, it's like that show of the tournament.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Did that mural on the wall, and he's a really good carpenter. We haven't heard the end of this. It hasn't had the impact yet that I thought it would. It was kind of...
You thought it'd be bigger? I think it's pretty big.
Well, I think it's big, but I don't know that it's had an impact. What has it changed?
So, well, yeah, and that's a good point. I think... So, one of the interesting things about the documents that he's released, the you know, the handful of media outlets that have them, they've been releasing them like in a trickle, yeah. You know, like one a week or one every two weeks.
That was the comment. They said they've released 1% of what he has.
And I'm saying, just get it all out there. Let you know, let the full force of whatever is revealed by these documents fall all at once. Because by they're diluting the effect, yeah. by trickling these things out one at a time.
There's still WikiLeaks coming out from Bradley Manning.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, they have their own reasons for doing that. I understand that. But so, you know, Snowden gave all these documents to The Guardian originally, and yeah. then to other agencies. Because he wanted to see it affect change.
Right.
And so I think he would be disappointed in the way they're handling this. I don't know. I'm speculating, obviously, because I haven't talked to him recently.
Well, I think his motivations have been kind of called into question a little bit, of whether he was really the freedom fighter, to coin a phrase, you know, that you know, it's altruistic. Sense came out to be, and I didn't some stuff come out that he was kind of surfing for data and other jobs? Like, I think he was actively seeking to get this stuff, and he got this stuff. It wasn't like he was happily doing his job, and then his moral conscience compelled him to do great things. I mean, I think him and his boy Greenwald were planning on doing stuff, and that's fine too. I mean,
I'm not sure I follow you.
I haven't heard that. I mean, that.
All right. Well, maybe I'll actually do some research for Watson.
What do you mean? I don't.
Well, I think when it first came out, it was like a conscientious objector thing. Like, he was a happy NSA employee doing the job he was assigned, trying to fight for the good of the country and do as best he can for his job. And he's happily doing his job, and then, oh my God, this is so big. I can't believe this is happening. My conscience compels me to break all of my agreements that I signed with the government that gave me the rights to this access, because this is so big that I had no idea this was going on, and now my heart makes me do this. Like, that was the way it was at the beginning, and I think some of that's been kind of... And then Greenwald is like, oh, you have a story to tell. It's my journalistic obligation to help tell stories, and it all kind of came together nicely. Yeah. I don't think that's quite what the story was.
So you don't believe he's a whistleblower?
No, I think he's a fisher for data. I think he took the job looking for data to expose, because, right. I don't.
Well, okay. How are those different, though?
Because I guess it comes down to the motivation. Are you happily doing your job and you come across something that violates your conscience and you have to do something about it? Or do you actively take that job so you can expose the secret that you know you're going to find?
Okay, but so that what? So that you can become a fugitive for the rest of your life and you know...
He's a man without a country?
Well, I think he doesn't want to. I don't think he wants to have a country.
But what was the motivation? He didn't do it for the fame and the fortune, because he's not getting any of that.
Well, maybe it didn't work out like he thought it would. I think definitely did it for the fame.
He's a world's biggest explorer.
Yeah, I mean, you have to...
I can't imagine that he's that stupid. that he thought that's how it would play out.
I think he had vendetta against the government. And he was going to play.
Well, that is entirely possible. I'm not.
Why do you think he has a vendetta?
Because I think he knew what he might find if he took that job. He signed a bunch of agreements to say he would never release the secrets that he may uncover in there. The whole reason why he signed those agreements was that he wanted to see what that was so he could expose it to the world and undermine whatever he wanted to undermine.
Okay, but even if he did do that, what's wrong with that?
No.
How is that different from a...
You're right. You can have a Benedict Arnold traitor or you can have a whistleblower. They both have the same effect, right? They both undermine a government. One comes from some kind of moral consciousness, and one's just trying to screw up the government, right?
Which there's a difference. Comes from a moral conscience.
But there's also a piece of paper you sign.
Right.
The difference between the two.
Okay, you signed a piece of paper, or it's essentially you could see it as an illegal contract, because I've made a contract with an entity that is not holding up their end of the contract.
You're only required to follow lawful orders. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you sign a contract that says you won't reveal secrets. They ask you to kill somebody. You kind of have to reveal that.
Yeah.
So, I'm just saying that I think it's a moral conscience that motivates both. I don't think you can separate the two.
Maybe it's... Let's boil it down, and maybe it's when does the moral conscience take effect? Like when does the action occur? Does it occur before he gets the job because his whole goal in getting the job is to undermine the government, or did he get the job and discover this stuff and said, "Oh my God, I got to do something"?
Well, it's equivalent to the cop walking down the street. He's walking his beat, and he comes across a guy in the alley roughing up some guy mugging him.
Okay.
Just stumbles across it. Or the cop who's investigating a crime that he knows has already occurred, and he's collecting evidence to put the guy away who did it. Right? I mean, what's the difference?
Well, I think there's a big difference there. That's a good point. It's possible that you're conceding the point that he may have taken that job to get those secrets because he knew what those secrets were because he wanted to reveal them.
Maybe. I haven't seen any evidence of that myself, but even if he did, I don't have a problem with it.
Anything.
It's just a difference.
I don't know why you think... Why are you going down that path? It seems like you're...
I like the idea of a whistleblower. I like the idea of the Pentagon Papers and journalists exposing data for what they think is the greater good. I'm all about that kind of thing. I'm not so sure that this falls into that category.
Okay.
By motivation.
All right. I think that's a feeling you have. There is no evidence to back that up.
I will search the Google machine.
Okay.
And tell you what I think.
Fair enough.
But my claim here, unsubstantiated by any evidence at this point by episode 66, stay tuned for episode 67.
All right.
Is that Greenwald and Snowden together worked together to plan this thing out to make this happen. That it wasn't an organic...
So it was a conspiracy from the beginning.
Yes.
Yes. A priori.
Yes, and I don't think Greenwald is just following his journalistic ethics. I think he's grinding his axe, too.
Okay.
So you basically have two people that are hunting the government for secrets so they can expose them. That's fine. Go do it. You know, that's what's... You know, it's not fine, but
oh, it is fine, in my opinion.
It's fine, that we know what that is. You know, I'm not making a judgment at this point either way. I'm just saying I don't think that this is the holy whistleblower trying to do good in the world.
Okay.
Well, I think it's kind of a... One of those duh moments, like, well, yeah, we all knew, or we pretty much knew this was going on. Now here's the evidence that, yeah, it's going
well,
on.
Well, like in some of the European heads of state, they're like, oh my God, it turns out that the U.S. is spying on allied heads of state. Like, you know, like...
They're all doing the same.
Right.
Everybody's like, spying on everybody else.
Right.
It's just when you get your hand caught in the cookie jar.
Right, right. It's tough to have it confirmed. But, I mean, wouldn't you... If you had to place a bet, you know, do you think we're spying on Angela Merkel to see what she's going to do at the conference? Yeah, probably so, you know?
Yeah.
You know what happens when you get caught in North Korea?
Oh.
can or not.
Yeah, that is a wild story.
You know? Get photoshopped out of pictures and life.
Yeah. Like, the guards actually come and just take you away violently, like they in those movies.
Right.
And like,
And pretty fast, too.
Is it his uncle?
Yeah, it was his uncle.
Well, here, explain to the listeners.
One of the headlines I saw is, it's like Richard III with nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Explain to the listeners.
North Korea, Kim Jong-un.
Nice.
Right? Yeah, he is the leader over there.
The deer leader.
Yeah, and apparently he had an issue with what his uncle was doing. He may have been conspiring. Thank you.
Kim Jong-un was better.
Yeah. on the side, and apparently was trying to do other things with China. I think that's what's going on. Anyways, Kim Jong-un is Kim Jong-un. He's a Kim Jong.
honestly, I don't think his uncle did anything.
Yeah,
I mean, he may have looked at him wrong one day, and the rest of this all got fabricated, and the way he goes to a death camp.
You don't know. So he did like one of those things in the Mighty Zohan, where he's like, he starts killing everybody, just does this, and then he takes him away, and pow.
Yeah.
Guards just came in the room, took him away, and then he was executed.
Well, that's why they're part of the Axis of Evil, right?
I missed that SNL skit.
When are we going to have Edward Snowden jump on? You know, a little North Korea whistleblower. Drop some documents with a lot of Hangul in there.
That would be great. Dennis Rodman's going to do that.
Who is?
Dennis Rodman.
He's a good guy. We're friends.
All right. You heard it here first, folks.
Dennis Rodman. Slam dunking him in the hoop.
Dennis Rodman is a CIA operative. Working on the inside.
It all makes sense what you say.
Vice.com is behind it.
Well,
Vice.com was behind it.
Except it's more likely he's an alien from another planet, and there's the whole Men in Black angle to this that we're not.
Born with the gift of rebounding.
Yeah.
Because he can see the future.
Right.
I mean, it is true. How do you rebound? All you need to do is see a half second in the future about where it's going to bounce, right?
Right.
All you need to do.
That's right.
That is one of my least favorite statements.
That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do.
Really?
That is the dumbest.
In 2.5 years of doing this, that was one of your least
favorite. Well, I have many. It is. I have another top three list. It is what it is. I don't like that one.
No, is what it is. I'm
and all you have to do is that. And that partly comes from my previous job. Had a group lead who would say, well, all we have to do is, and then he would lay out this laundry list of things we had to do, or he would say one thing that encompassed this major task.
All we have to do is sell this program.
Well, yeah, it's easy to say, all you have to do is brew the world's greatest beer, and you'll be a millionaire. Well, okay, well, that's all I have to do then.
Right. If we had some peanut butter,
it is true.
We could make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches if we had some jelly.
What's annoying phrase number one? You only gave us two.
Yeah, give us number one, Jeremy.
I don't know.
You don't have a number one?
I have a thing about, I don't know where it ranks, but I have a thing, there's this certain person we know who uses geographical terms to describe a set, like the state of things. Allow me to elaborate.
Sure.
Well, this is where we are, so we really need to get to where we're going, and this is just where we are. So if we need to get there, we need to do these things to get there, but right now, it is what it is, where we are.
Oh, see.
That sounds like a lot of management speak right there. That's what that is.
All right, I got a quibble. I got another quibble here.
I have my number one, if you'll let me in here.
Oh, I'm excited.
I'm just filling in number one. I don't know if this is officially my number one, but we need a number
it's
one.
It came so. Up.
Go for it.
Literally.
Oh, yeah.
I don't because most...
That's like the all-time.
They say, literally, I was blown away.
Right.
No, you just did the opposite of literally.
I've heard real idiot people use to say that, but I've heard it in some like, kind of high-end conversations with people that are paid to say things.
Know what words
we know
mean.
Better.
Right, right. Yeah, I was literally blown away. Right. I literally died when you said that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
tell me about
that. You did.
I still have a trouble with it all went downhill from there. Okay, so downhill, does that mean worse? Because when I'm riding my bike, downhill is pretty sweet, right? So is it all went downhill from there. Oh,
but where does crap go?
Downhill.
Crap goes downhill. So yeah. Is my bike. My bike's crap. It all makes sense.
Where do houses go when they're falling off a cliff? They go downhill. You
know, it's go up here, uphill from here.
Yeah.
Well, that's difficult.
But it's up. To the mountaintop.
But treacherous paddle.
Okay there, MLK.
I've been to the
Jeremy, so give us your number one
number
story.
Number one.
Drum roll, please.
Drum roll. The ACA.
Yay.
Because we don't want to call it Obamacare because that is racist, I recently heard.
Oh, yes.
It's racist.
It's racist.
Melissa Harris Perry. She said it's racist.
No, I didn't.
You know what that is, right?
Yeah, the newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I actually heard him talking about it on the radio, and I thought it was funny because 2 weeks ago I heard that the Obama administration is no longer calling it Obamacare because it's gone downhill. As a callback there. But they were calling that back when they were touting how great it was.
Right.
Right.
So it's
and now that it's
racist.
Titanic care,
yeah.
They don't want to be associated with it anymore.
I think it's a big story because it is what we all... Anybody with half a brain knew was going to happen. There's nothing the government does that isn't a total disaster. Yeah. Rob's going to disagree. All right, Rob.
I would disagree with that premise. I'll agree with this rollout pile of poo. I'm with you.
There's no country that has socialized medicine that has improved the quality of medicine. I would challenge you to find me a country that has done
it's
that.
It's not about quality, it's about quantity,
well,
right?
That's what I'm talking about. And
I mean, it's holiday season, year in review. We don't have to relitigate the whole...
All right, well, fine. Then let me just finish my thought and we can move on to whatever
else. No, I do agree. You got to say it's a big story because it was the impetus behind the whole government shutdown thing.
Right.
It's got major implications on the poll numbers for coming into the midterm elections. And, I mean,
well, and you have a lot of people who supported it, and then they saw what it was really doing, and like, oh, crap, this isn't what they said it was going to be. And even Obama has backtracked on, well, you know, I said you could keep it, but I, you know, didn't literally mean you could keep it. You know.
In my rose-colored liberal lefty glasses, I'll say that I think...
He had a good view, an altruistic view. And
no, he planned the website to go down so he could save the website. No. Did
you see the South Park episode about this?
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
brilliant.
It was a good one.
Oh, yeah. They had it at the school, and the school had this new IntelliLink, they called it, where you could schedule a visit to the nurse or with your counselor. And so Mr. Mackey's trying to schedule it, and the shade starts going up and down. And music is playing. Like it's really loud. The kids are trying to talk, and they're having to scream to each other. Oh, really?
And the only place it can work, he has to bring Stan or Kyle like into the bathroom.
Yeah.
He has to go number two while talking to a student. And they, oh, finally a place it works. And then tell them like, the fix for it.
They ripped all the panels out. They had to upgrade it to like the platinum level, and the upgrade was tearing all the system out of the school and throwing it away.
Yeah, and wipe away any trace of it ever happened.
Yeah.
And then he shoots himself.
Awesome.
All right.
I don't know if I have any more to say about that other than first problems with the website. I don't know. Did you guys talk about the math of how many people?
Yeah, we covered that a little bit in the last episode.
Well, then I'll let it go, but I just...
Yeah, the fact that only like 10 people got signed up in the first month.
And even if they said, well, we didn't expect so much traffic. You know, we were expecting maybe 50,000 people. Well, if you do the math on that and the number who need to sign up, it would take like 3 years to get everybody signed up. So that's a load of crap.
Right, it's not an excuse for it.
But they're using it that way.
Well, right.
They have to. Rob, let me back up. literally is no longer my number one. My number one is Rob saying, well, right. Because he uses that to just, as a segue, just diffuse any discussion.
It's because you expect me to defend stupid lefty.
Well, you've been doing it for 2 years or 3 years.
No, no,
why
no, no,
not?
No, no, no,
why
no.
stop now?
No. I'm just trying to inject a little reason.
No, I don't think you are. What you're injecting...
What happened was you have policy players that say yes, for this to work, we need this many people to sign up at this time, and they think we got the demand for this, we got this policy's good. Then the implementers completely botch it, right? So what are they going to say? We completely screwed this up. We should have known there was going to be a million people. Of course they're going to be like, oh, we thought we only... It's software whinging. I'll take another pale ale.
Okay.
It's software. You've seen it a few times in perhaps your profession. So, hey, why does this feature not work? The requirements weren't right. And the customer, turn it off, turn it back on again, see if it works. It doesn't work. Come on. It's techie dancing.
It goes back to
press secretaries, no. White House press secretaries.
All right, fine.
You can't be mad at White House press secretaries because their job is to...
Well, right.
The job of a White House press secretary is to be like...
A liar.
The world's biggest, like, BS artist.
Machine. Just spewing the malarkey.
Just
like a fire hose.
And some people do it better than others, but, I mean, that's what they're doing, right? That's their role. Now, Dana Perino... I would just wish she would just do it.
Obama would make a great press secretary.
Who?
Barack Obama. He would make a great press secretary.
Maybe he will take that role with the next president.
Joe Biden?
Hillary?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it? All right. So we are going to take a little break. And when we come back... I will give my top three, and Rob will give his top three, and then we'll...
No, I have two honorable mentions.
Some other stuff. So stay with us.
It's always tough to go first.
Christmas time is here, by golly, disapproval would be folly. Deck the halls with hunks of holly, fill a cup and don't say when. Kill the turkeys, ducks, and chickens. Mix the punch, drag out the dickens. Even though the prospect sickens, brother, here we go again. On Christmas Day, you can't get sore. Your fellow man you must adore. There's time to rob him all the more. The other 306 a tea of four. Relations, sparing no expense'll send some useless old utensil or a matching pen and pencil, just the thing I need. How nice. It doesn't matter how sincere it is, nor how heartfelt the spirit. Sentiment will not endear it. What's important is the price. Hark, the Herald Tribune sings, advertising wondrous things. God rest ye merry merchants, may ye make the Yuletide pay. Angels we have heard on high tell us to go out and buy. So let the raucous sleigh bells jingle, hail our dear old friend Kris Kringle, driving his reindeer across the sky. Don't stand underneath when they fly by.
We're talking about... We are so glad to be here. These are the most handsome guys. We are so lucky. And they came out in the snowstorm to be with us?
That's right.
God,
that's
we are...
For you listeners, she doesn't have her glasses on right now.
People. You know something? I just drive carefully.
The question of the night is, what do you think the biggest story of the year was? 2013, year in review.
Yeah.
Biggest story.
Okay, you keep your own doctors.
If you like your doctor, you can keep
them. $2,500 per family. That's the biggest story.
That's the biggest story, okay.
Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah. That was my number one, too.
Quote, unquote.
What do you think the biggest story is? Same thing?
I think the biggest story is that I just hope will come to get together is as Americans. And Mandela, I wish there would be more people like that.
Yeah.
He was an amazing human being.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Amen.
And to add to that, I think that we are very fortunate with the new Pope. I think that he is the new Pope.
Oh, Catholics high five. Right there.
I think he is a very gentle man, and I hope he will help the world.
No, absolutely. I've been impressed with him too, and I'm not Catholic, but I like him.
And I'm Jewish.
Oh!
I say all men are beautiful and alike.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's women. I
know. Here, we talked about this earlier. Do you get offended if someone says Merry Christmas as your?
No, we do not.
Okay.
It's the holiday season, and we are all enjoying the holiday season.
All right.
And even though Hanukkah fell on Thanksgiving. This year,
yeah.
But it's the holiday season, and I myself am having a holiday party next Saturday.
Are we invited?
Absolutely. Please come. It's going to be lots of fun. All you need is to bring a grab gift.
Oh, I got one of those.
And
you get the exchange.
Nice. I got a pair of salt and pepper shakers. They'll take care of that real quick.
Whatever. Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you guys.
And Happy New Year.
What's that up on the roof?
Up in some northern town, but Carolina Christmas is still the best around. Wrap up your teddy bear, hang your stockings up with care. It's a Carolina Christmas, we're chilling in our underwear. Well, old St. Nick's got a bag of tricks and he's come around after a while. This must be his favorite haunt, cause we always do it up in style. Grandma's got the fiddle and Grandpa's got the bass. It's Christmas in Carolina. It's Christmas all over the place. Well, all right. Get that stocking out of your mouth.
All right, we are back after a somewhat extended break. we had people stop and talk, and we started rehashing Obamacare again, and it just went off the rails. So, you know, it's after midnight now, and they're getting ready to close the bar, but we're still here. No, just kidding.
Foot and a half of snow out there.
That's
now,
right.
Too. Oh my gosh.
That's right. The weather outside is frightful. So here are my top three stories, and I kind of went with a theme for mine. My theme is privacy. Okay. So my number three story is Bitcoin. Bitcoin was everywhere this year, right? I mean, you're constantly hearing about Bitcoin.
Everybody was stealing from everybody.
Well, yeah. That's right. Hide your bitcoins, hide your wives.
They're raping all the Bitcoin.
That's right. So Bitcoin hit an all-time high of over $1,100 this year, and that was just a week ago. And, you know, that's pretty outrageous, considering earlier in the year everybody was thinking, oh, well, when it hit 400, we topped out, you know. And we went way beyond that. So, okay, why does this fall into the privacy theme? Because Bitcoin is private currency. I mean, it can't be traced. The transactions are anonymous, and I think it's got a lot of people running scared.
Well, it's so, I don't know what the right word is, but the government took notice and decided to do something about it, right?
Well, yeah, there were hearings on Capitol Hill, I don't know, a month or two ago about Bitcoin. And, you know, it's just, I think it's more curiosity at this point. They're like, oh, what is this thing? You know, what can you do with it?
How can we tax it?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's coming. Yeah. Count on that. But I think those attempts will be unsuccessful.
Okay.
I think what will happen is they will declare it illegal currency because it competes with the dollar. And then it'll just go underground, and everybody will use it for buying, you know, illicit things like drugs and prostitution and whatnot. But it's never going to go away.
Yeah.
By definition, it won't go away. So it doesn't matter how many websites they shut down or, you know, how many accounts they seize, Bitcoin is not going away. So,
but is that the problem with it, or is it the security of it? Like, how many millions of dollars are being stolen all year long?
Well, so, yeah. I mean, there have been stories about people stealing Bitcoins, breaking into websites and stealing them, but that's because people are being stupid with them.
They are. Just like I can go hack in someone's Wi-Fi password.
Well, just like you can break into somebody's house and steal all their cash because they stuffed it in their mattress.
Yeah.
That's stupid. If you take the proper precautions, Bitcoin is just as secure as any other form of currency. It's not something that...
Huh? Identity theft. I mean, legit credit cards get people hijack those all the time.
So, I mean, Bitcoin is not any easier to steal than any other data that's kept on a computer. So,
but it's not any more difficult. It's as easy as they give it to you. Just like you said, you know, it's scary.
Right.
Because people don't understand what they have.
If you're going to be stupid about it, then, you know...
Yeah.
You're likely to get taken. Somebody's going to steal your stuff. And that's true of anything, not just bitcoins. You leave your car running with the keys in it.
Yeah.
But that's somebody's going to steal your car.
Okay. It's just people don't understand the technology yet. Just like when people didn't understand what geotagging was on their, when they took a picture and they posted it on Facebook or whatever. They didn't realize that your iPhone or your smartphone geotagged that guy.
Right.
And even though that's been out for years and years and years.
Yeah, there's still a lack of understanding.
And all of a sudden a new article comes out, someone reposts something from 2009, and everybody's like, can you believe this, what the government is doing? Oh, like Snowden was right, Manning was right, you know, he really enjoyed tucking and twerving, and now look at how smart he looks. No, it just, people just don't understand. They see technology, they see how convenient it is, they want to use that before they research it.
Yeah.
Which is similar to Bitcoin. They're like, oh, this is perfect. This is not the dollar. This is not the yen. I just want to use it right now. It's convenient for right now. And I'm not going to research it.
Right. So, okay, Bitcoin is... I would not characterize it as convenient. It is not by any means convenient at this point. Because converting U.S. dollars into Bitcoin is about the most cumbersome process you could think of right now. But I think that will change in the near future. I think as more and more businesses start accepting it as payment, I mean, there was a story just a week ago about a guy who bought a Tesla Roadster with Bitcoin. And, you know, so Tesla's accepting it now. As more and more businesses start accepting Bitcoin.
I think Tesla will accept about anything. Somebody wants to buy one of our cars? Holy cow, yeah.
We'll saw the article about the couple who went around the world using only Bitcoin.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting where they had to stay in certain places.
Yeah.
And how they actually had to keep, like, multiple gallons of gasoline in their car when they drove across the U.S. Yeah, like, because to find a gas station, they researched it first beforehand, luckily, to figure out what places would take it.
Yeah.
There was some nights they went, some days they went hungry.
Does Bitcoin get into fractions? Can you have a fraction Bitcoin?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So you can coin up the Bitcoin.
Yeah. You can have like 10,000ths of a Bitcoin.
That's some serious fraction right there.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, it's all digital currency, so subdivide it as far as you want. And when it's, you know, $1,000 a Bitcoin, it makes sense to have a 10,000th of a Bitcoin.
That's right. That's a big coin.
Yeah. Okay, so that's my number three. Number two, same as Jeremy's, Edward Snowden in the NSA.
Check out the big brains on us.
How about that? So I think this was a big story from a privacy consideration because, you know, for the tinfoil hat crowd out there, this represented a huge vindication for them. For all the people that said, hey, the government's been spying on us for years. They've been recording your phone calls. They've been recording your emails. And hello, yes, they have. So
Rob is turning up his nose and looking skeptical like it's not vindication. I don't understand why you would...
I want to go ahead and say it's not vindication.
So why? Why not?
My own personal mother, who may be a podcast listener if she ever figures out how podcasts work...
Hi, Rob's mom.
said, direct quote, oh, so we found out the government's listening to our phone calls and looking at our emails and tracking us when they want to track us. Oh, what a surprise.
Okay, and this so there you go.
Well, that's why I said it was the duh story of the year, too.
But I wouldn't say she's a tinfoil hat. I wouldn't characterize it as tinfoil hat.
Right.
It confirms all of our suspicions.
So maybe this notion that the government had been spying on everything we do had become mainstream enough by the time the story was released.
Right.
It's just like, duh.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what you're saying, Jeremy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it releases the mechanics.
Right.
Which
is a little unseemly.
Right. Right.
And yeah. And to see it in black and white, just it's a little shocking. But it's not shocking enough, in my opinion. And like I said, I think if the newspapers that have all of the Snowden documents would just dump them all at once, they would have a much greater impact, I think, than just trickling them out one by one. I don't agree with that strategy, but...
This brings up something else I want to talk about. Something I don't know if we'll have time tonight, but go on with...
Okay.
Well, I'll just drop this little bomb out there. Maybe it's the whole topic of the conversation. So you distrust the government's harvesting of data about you.
Right.
Because you believe a government is inherently evil, yet a free market solution tends to be the best operation. Do you not have the same distrust for private organizations?
Absolutely.
They're harvesting your data in the same way.
I was looking for belt sanders, and it happened with a pair of shoes I was looking at online. And then after I searched for those, every time I'd log into Facebook, suddenly there was an ad for those exact shoes or that exact belt sander that I was looking at.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So, in keeping with the privacy theme now, my number one is drones. And I recognize that that's not a single story that happened this year, but it seemed like drones were everywhere. We were talking about them, you know, in a lot of different contexts.
There's a new story in the news just the last couple days. 14 people were killed in Yemen at a wedding.
Yeah.
From a drone strike. And now there's been a story on, I keep seeing the link for it, and there's this new top secret drone being tested out at Area 51. It has I don't know if it's the loiter that is the impressive feat about it. I forget. I read one of the articles. And
I think it has racial profiling.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Wasn't that just hang around for forever?
I think that's one of the...
But we've talked about drones before on the show about and their impact they're going to have on individual privacy.
Well, Amazon's going to deliver.
Right,
using
and
drones.
Yeah, so that was one of the big stories just in recent weeks is that Amazon is now using drones, or they want to use drones to deliver product. And
pay attention, Rob. Pay attention.
I'm looking at Josie the Outlaw.
Josie
the Right now she's standing in front of a holographic constitution. It's kind of working it for me.
Yeah.
Amendment up there. He's getting all hot.
It's hot. So, yeah, Amazon's going to start delivering products to people who live within a certain radius of their distribution centers by drones. And, you know, Google's got their own drone that they're working on. So, I mean, it's going to turn into the battle of the drones.
I'm going to start a new company. Let's call it, I don't know, Skynet. And I'm going to operate all the drones for these companies.
But there's purposes of, an Amazon drone is a little different than a military drone.
Right. But Amazon drone is like shooting skeet with prizes.
Yeah, I heard that. But why?
Well, what's the purpose of that drone, though?
To surveil you.
Or there's drones to eliminate you.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, a quadcopter. A quadcopter is a lot different than a Reaper or a Predator. Yeah.
But allow me to inject a possible future topic in a future episode.
Okay.
You didn't talk about drones because oh my God, will they bring me prizes?
No.
You talked about them about privacy. And
right.
Why would one trust Amazon or Google or a private enterprise?
I don't.
Any more than the government.
I'm as horrified by that news as I am by, you know, drone strikes in Yemen. It's a technology that is easily abused by anybody that has it. And that includes individuals. I mean, the designs for these quadcopter drones are on the internet. Anybody can, you know, build one now with off-the-shelf parts and, you know, put a GoPro high-def camera on it, fly it around, and take pictures of anything they want. And on the one hand, while that's great, and that's a step in the right direction for journalists and anybody else that want to document events that are happening, the same technology can be used to spy on people. So it's just something that we have to be aware of, and something that, you know, it's something else that you're going to have to be worried about.
I think it's a market opportunity for people like us. What do we know about? Let's talk about some threats and some situational awareness for your home.
Right?
Save for your home.
Save for your home, yeah.
SAHome.com. Log right on.
I think of people that misinterpret the essay part.
Yeah, probably.
Who are you talking about?
All right, so let's move on to Rob's stories. Rob has a special treat for us. Or should I say MC Robbie Rob has a special treat for us.
All right, here's my year in review for you. You guys all did all your talking, allowed some rebuttals. All right, let me drop some of this rap for you.
Let's go.
Cooking up the beats like I'm the Iron Chef. It's your man Robbie Rob from the left. It's the year in review on the MPP, so let me wrap this recap of the 21-3. The year started off with Obama inaugurated. Dude living large, which the right wing hated. Went from flash in the pan to now the straight up man. Mitt Romney's plan? Chill at Disneyland. Alabama champions, the school earned bank. Thanks, players earn nothing but a rear end spank. Nick Saban clocked in at over 5.5 mil. You can't sell your image, but the NCAA will. State of the Union was so boring, had like 8, let me be clear, for those at home scoring. Pope Benedict and his red shoes went walking. What will we do now with all that dogmatic talking? Niners didn't know what they had in store when the Ravens whooped them up and quote, nevermore. Yeah, this rhyme ain't your usual style of prose. It's already clocked more pose than hoes. The Blade Runner tweaked and killed a super hot chick. I'm fine with Hugo Chavez dead, the dude up. Governments collapsed and saw the boson of Higgs. Why wasn't it found first by capitalist pigs? We made it up to April when things got silly. The Boston Marathon got bombed. Come on, really? Bomber went from boat bleeding to a Rolling Stone cover. Hair all floppy like a part-time lover. Fertilizer plant blew up. Aw, hail. Obama got ricin up in his snail mail. A little bit of ricin seems like no big deal compared to Syria, where that ish just got real. Everyone asks why that London soldier got axed. Israel waxed up some Damascus backs. Colorado on fire like Morsi's land. The Arab Spring crushed by dictator's hand. July, the SCOTUS went crazy on the POTUS. Served DOMA and the Voting Rights Act some notice. Snowden dropped intel like a huge core dump and then took his boy Greenwald on a world tour of chumps. Zimmerman stood ground but got the pound. Pulled his piece and then oops, a murder trial he found. All good for him as he scored acquittal. So watch out where you're walking, snacking tea and Skittles. Morsi got sacked and the Royals spawned. Asiana Airlines found out something wrong. Egypt popped off like a Dr. Phil family. Turned out Bradley Manning, maybe not so manly. Now it's September and Syria declines. Obama has enough and drops some red lines. The right complains, not doing enough. He snuffs out the chem weapons and they still talk stuff? Colorado went from covered in the fire of Hades to being more washed out than Jerry's jeans in the 80s. Year of mass shootings. People love to pop it. Maybe next year we'll have more guns. That'll stop it. Our shakes were Harlem, but some quakes weren't playing. Redbird bats turned chickens from all that egg laying. China tried a no-fly zone. Snooze. Time to flood that zone with B-52s. We all got geeked about the Mars lander, but we broke bad words over the Duck Commander. Miley did twerk, Lance played a big jerk, and angered more people than Bishop Raymond Burke. So I guess I'm done, my summary is through. Wishing happy holidays to the MPP crew. Thanks for tolerating this white boy rapping. Check the MPP in 14 to see what's gonna happen.
Yeah! Yeah.
That was very good.
That's right. I'll accept responses, but only in the form of rap rebuttals.
Okay. All right. So we're going to have a rap battle here on the MPP.
Yeah, boy.
I like the comment about my jeans from the 80s. That was my favorite. And yeah. And I'm glad you recognize that you're the white boy rapper that... So, yeah, with apologies to all of our listeners who had to suffer through that. But I thought that was pretty good.
Hey.
So, okay. I don't know. Would you care to pick one story out of that compendium there to highlight?
Yeah, it didn't even show up in the rap, but I think I will agree that the healthcare story was story of the year.
Think so?
The government shutdown. I mean, there was a lot of things that came out of that.
Yeah.
The government shutdown, the fact that I think the Republicans misplayed their hand. If they just sat tight and shot bullets at the whole rollout the whole time,
right.
That was probably the better play.
And that Obama lied about being able to keep your...
Obama lied. Oh, yeah, he lied.
No surprise there that a president lied, but it's just like, you know...
I think he was internally consistent. He just didn't mention certain things.
Well, okay, but then they say they misspoke. You misspoke one time. You don't do it, you know, six times in six different speeches.
He glossed over certain details.
Understood.
Right, because the point of
just saying it screwed up.
What, no, I'm not going to say it because
just say it. He screwed up.
Because the point of
he glossed over
the point.
Well,
of,
right.
The point of health. One of the benefits that you get out of Obamacare is that you're not allowed to have insurance policies that suck anymore. You have to have insurance policies that meet some kind of minimum standard. So the logical conclusion there is,
right,
these policies you can't have anymore.
And it's the problem with everything the government does. It's one-size-fits-all solutions for multiple people in multiple situations. So you got somebody deciding which healthcare plans suck. Maybe I don't think my health care plan
right.
sucks, and I want to keep it.
Right, that's
and
true.
I was told I could keep it, but that was a lie.
It was overstatement.
Oh, well, there you go. You know, that... There used to be investigations when stuff like this happened, and I think... I don't know when it started. Maybe it was the Clinton administration, because all administrations lie. That's
right,
I'm not trying to...
That's a given.
That's a given, all the way back in time. But with Clinton and the it depends on what your definition of is
yeah.
put us on this path of
a new era.
We
of,
just obfuscate and we'll just move on from that.
Right.
That's
I think
fine.
He was talking about the majority of people.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't, Rob.
He was. That is not
the majority of people
whatever.
Employer based health.
No,
no,
I think you're
no, he wasn't.
For him.
You're covering.
I know, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have said, and if you like it, you can keep it, unless you have a policy that sucks and you can't keep it anymore. Maybe he should have said, he should have...
Maybe he should
So that was,
this is a waste.
An asterisk next to...
Right,
on the teleprompter.
You should have been able to tell from the tone of his voice or the glint in his eye that he meant that unless it sucks. Come on, be honest.
Yeah.
Put your phone down and be honest.
All right. Quit lusting after Josie the Outlaw.
Mm. She's shooting now.
That's her pussy cat.
That is pretty hot.
Look at that kickback. She's just taking it.
Next.
Okay. So a little bit of listener feedback. First of all, from Jordan. Jordan said, I would love to hear your opinion on this. The Oklahoma City Thunder May have to give away, what is this, a $20,000 half-court shot prize due to NAIA rules.
I did say that, didn't I?
Yeah.
That was a while back.
Yeah, that was a few
Can't
weeks
make
ago.
Money if you're a student athlete from your skills.
Is right. NCAA is in a.
Right, IA. Which is like the poor man's NCAA, right?
But yet, they still pay like 20 or 30 grand a year for that college he's going to. That's a serious college he's going to, but I was like, huh. But I guess it's under different collegiate organization.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
So I looked it up because honestly, I'd never heard of the NAIA, and yeah. There's like 235 colleges across the United States that are a member of the NAIA. And, I think the NCAA has similar rules.
Yes.
So, you know, this probably would have been an issue for any college athlete that tried to do this.
Yeah, but, like, for crying out loud, the guy was shooting a half-court shot at a
right.
game.
Right. Well, so...
At an NBA game. He wasn't out there challenging somebody to, a bet.
So the question is he representing his college team when he participates in an event like that, or is he acting on his on his own? Is he representing only himself? And I mean, I think
it's a situational question.
Well, I would think that he's representing himself. He goes to the game. He's not there as a player for his college. He's there as an individual who just happens to be in the audience and wants to compete.
If he protested something big, though, God only knows that his college name would be in front of it. Or he could be in front of it. It depends who's reporting the news at the time.
Well, that may be.
I don't know. I might be able to see both sides of this. That anytime you enter a sweepstakes and they always say employees of the radio station are not eligible.
Yeah,
this
right.
is one of those situations where...
Well, they
kind of.
Screen them properly.
Well,
to eliminate from
maybe, and maybe they will in the future. Like if anybody gets up there, okay, you're not a college basketball player, are you?
And but that comes up with the whole thing that I have. One of my biggest things is I don't know how to, fix this problem. But collegiate athletes not being able to get money.
Yeah, preach it.
That's one of my biggest things.
Preach
and
it,
back
brother.
To South Park, they did a great thing on episode about crack babies.
Of course they did.
And they had a whole basketball organization of crack babies. And they were making money, they were profiting off of them. At first they just want to find them homes, and get them out there in the world, and get them an education. But then all of a sudden they were fun to watch. And then people were paying to see them. And so it evolved into this big thing, and everybody was like, just trying to sell these crack babies. South Park is spot on. I will give it credit every single time. But I just don't get, Johnny Manziel, the Heisman Trophy winner last year, number 2012 winner. He got in trouble. It was brushed under the rug.
Yeah,
what was on there? There was an agreement that happened. He only suspended for two games, right?
Yeah. He was selling merchandise, autographed merchandise, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that?
And the rap. They would be giving 6,000 items. He signed them and gave them back. But there was never any proof. But that right there. Or like the guys in Ohio State, they accepted tattoos for free because they're college players.
Well,
where the heck is the problem in that? But there's a fine line, but yet these college coaches are getting paid $2-4 million.
As the rap states, Nick Saban earned $5.5 million this year. And they say, well, you gave him a scholarship. Okay. Let's take it easy there. Let's say you're in state at Alabama. How much is the Alabama scholarship really, really not what it's retail, but it's,
actual value.
Right. For guys that are maybe going to class two or three times. They're not trying to get them the best education in the
Okay, so if you start paying them, then how?
But I don't agree.
That muddies the academics. Then
the whole
I think.
Thing is distasteful to me. The idea of paying them, but I feel like it's a more honest relationship. That when we're rooting, when everybody's paying their $100 to get their ticket into the Alabama game, you're paying to see paid players. It's like a more honest relationship. Because you're not seeing. You're not seeing all the student athletes that are just playing for the fun of it. You know, now they're just playing for their school. Like, it's gone way beyond.
Well, they're playing to try to get into the NFL or the NBA or anything.
It's dishonest.
It's the only thing is trying to figure out how to allocate the money properly.
Right. Exactly.
Well, like, should the coach, like, the player, it's how do you give it to Alabama and how do you get to U of I?
Right. Right.
You know, or and how do you give it to Toledo State? And how do you give it to Gonzaga?
Right, because there is the spirit of sports, collegiate athletes is still alive.
Yeah.
So,
but it's not.
My question is, do the athletes sign any sort of agreement or contract when they join the college that says, I won't do, you know, this list of things?
Yes.
Well, okay, then it's cut and dry. You've signed the contract, you violate the contract. You get
that's true. That's true. But that contract is created by the people that have all the power.
I agree.
All the rain.
I agree.
No other.
Well, that's
so you
unusual.
Negotiate a better contract.
Yeah, but I don't think
so. You
says
create
you can't shoot a half court shot during halftime.
But so you create a union of college athletes, and that union then negotiates better contracts for the athletes.
But when is the union negotiating better contracts with management? A champion of the right wing. That's not a right wing thing.
What does right or left wing have to do with it?
Why did you bring right wing into it?
Well, right. So
because I can't think of anybody at this table who is for union negotiating contracts with management where we form unions out of people who are not already.
What? I am all for unions.
We're a free market group, right?
I am all for unions.
Is that the real answer?
What I'm not for is when the government steps in and says I'm going to enforce what the union decides. See, to me, it should be a pure relationship between the union and management. And the union says, look, if you don't agree to what we want, we walk. And we force you then to go rehire a bunch of unskilled people to replace us. That should be their only bargaining chip, is that, you know, they either strike or they just completely leave. I mean, that should be the only card that a union gets to play. But under our current system, that's not how it works. The union has all kinds of other federal government cards that they can play.
This is fast. This is episode 68.
Okay.
Because I didn't think anybody at this table, including me, was informed in favor of any kind of union.
I have no problem with unions. I have problem with the collusion between unions and government.
Okay.
Because then the unions use the government as their muscle.
Right. And they would have to use some other kind of government.
Well, they'd have to use the only card they have, which is we're going to strike and force the company, or in this case, force the university to go hire a bunch more athletes.
Right, right. And I guess as left or liberal, I think I quibble with the idea that the free market would solve this. The free market would say, oh, you want to pay your Nick Saban $5.5 million, you don't want to pay us, we'll create our own league. Well, it's not, for whatever reason, cultural reasons, people know about Roll Tide and War Eagle, it's not going to happen. There's not a market there that's available for 19-year-old kids not affiliated with colleges running against each other. It's just not, like, the market doesn't solve this problem.
Okay. Well, then maybe it's not a problem that needs to be solved. Maybe it's not a problem that needs to be solved.
And that's.
I mean, if there's not enough money at stake to make it a marketable thing, then.
No, it's that the people that are in charge of the money are doing just fine.
Okay, well, if it's their money, then why are we even talking about this?
It's
I mean, what you're saying is that it shouldn't be their money. It should be the athletes' money, because that's who is being exploited here, right? Quote, unquote, exploited.
Sure.
Okay. Well, then it's on them to negotiate better contracts.
Back to the original story. He tried. He knew exactly what happened. As soon as he shot the shot, he's like, he knew he couldn't have popped it, $25,000 or whatever it is, $50,000.
It was 20.
So he went straight to the school and said, can I put some of this towards my tuition?
Yeah.
And that's what he said. Do you think it's okay to, like, is that just because of the scholarship? Because I think he's using this, I know it's outside the entity of the school, but he's using that for his,
and when they said no, he said, well, okay, can I give it to charity?
Yeah.
And I think that's what they ended up doing with it, right?
Because you play that in the public. I mean,
yeah.
It's the smartest move there is.
Right.
Yeah, at least you get a tax break.
Yeah. All right, well, so we probably beat that one. All right, last bit of listener feedback here. Our listener, Doug, has a question for Rob. He says, the things you say on the show, do you actually believe them, or are you just playing a role? And then he also goes on to ask, what do you think of Harry Reid removing the Senate rule for a supermajority to stop a filibuster, and his response in 2005 when the Republicans tried to do the same thing, that it was, quote, un-American?
All right, Doug.
Just before Rob gets into it, I want to say, before we start and before we were recording, he admitted that he ratchets it up a little bit for effect.
Or do I? Or did I say
And then I call him out,
really,
and he's
I don't remember saying that.
Yeah, but so...
Do you really believe Jeremy?
So go on,
that
Rob.
Said that?
Seduce them with your wares.
I will only conclude that I am a man of mystery.
No, you're not.
And intrigue.
No.
As far as the Harry Reid...
Wait, okay, answer his question.
That's
Come
the,
on.
That's the answer.
That's not the answer. Be as real. Put intrigue. Your phone away and answer the question.
Just with special. All right.
Guy.
On to the Harry Reid. I think Harry Reid removing the rule, first of all, he removed the supermajority, is all I can tell, on executive nominations of federal court judges and certain executive office positions, not for legislation, so it's not, oh my God, the biggest deal in the world,
right.
But it does pave the way for nominations to go through easily. I think the thing to remember is, we all, for you right-wing folks, obviously, to you in your mind, Obama's worst president of all humankind, and what's going to happen next is we're going to have the Republican resurgence of our center-right nation is going to take hold. That's what I keep hearing.
I don't think that's what he's asking, actually. Asking about the hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy, I completely believe that's totally hypocrite.
Okay.
He's a hypocrite that way.
Yeah, but that's okay. He's just hypocrite, so let's talk about something else. You right-wing...
Right. I cannot defend Harry Reid's. Harry Reid's a punk. I'm not a defender of Harry Reid. Harry Reid's a punk. I wish he would just shut his stupid mouth. Would be good for all liberalism. All
right.
But
Senator Reid? I know you're listening.
I know you're listening. But as far as the Senate rule, I think it's a good rule. And I think you got to be careful about pushing these sorts of things.
Because let's just
plot Democrat-Republican presidencies over time.
Obviously.
And it's a nice little porpoising, oscillating relationship. But you got to be careful when you push these sort of things.
Yeah, definitely.
With your guy in charge because what I hear from my right-wing brethren is that this guy is completely out of touch with the country, he's a complete idiot, Obama doesn't know what he's doing, and this is a center-right nation, and we're going to take it back. Okay, take it back. You'll have your Republican president, you're going to push your nominees through.
So this is
the kind of rule that can fight. If you think this is just going to be for the next 2 years, well, you got a little trouble there, Harry Reid.
It's going to come back.
Right.
I mean, eventually somebody's going to reinstate this rule because that's the game, right?
Well, they'll either reinstate this rule, or I completely don't deny that Harry Reid might still be in the Senate with his old, chumpy, crusty old self.
And
I have other words to say.
And then criticize them
and
when
criticize
they...
criticize this
yeah.
when it's President Rick Perry showing up.
Absolutely,
right.
Yeah.
But I'm not defending that part.
So obviously, I don't think there should be a government. But if you're going to have one, and you're going to have Congress, who purports to, you know, be this deliberative body that is going, then the filibuster is completely antithetical to that, right? I mean, it's basically I'm taking my ball and going home.
Right, right.
It's I'm not going to negotiate with you at all.
Right. Right.
So.
Right, it's not like, well, I'm not going to vote for that guy, but I'll vote for this guy. It's just like, we're not going to vote because I don't like any of your guys.
Hey, Cruz is up there reading stories to his kids. And
right.
Right.
Well,
come
no, on. But that wasn't about judicial nominees. This is
no, I understand that wasn't, I'm not, I'm just
I'm not,
saying the
Harry
act
Reid
of filibuster, Rob.
Harry Reid didn't destroy the filibuster for all things. It was for judicial appointments, which have been hung
Jerry
up.
Was just talking about how ridiculous the filibuster is, and it's antithetical to the congressional process. And I was saying, yes, I think it's ridiculous.
That's all
I was saying.
And we have Jimmy Stewart to blame for that, right? Mr. Smith goes to Washington, and that's That's why the filibuster is the iconic thing that it is in American politics.
Senator Cruz, he's got something going.
Oh, please. I'm glad you didn't say that with a straight face.
You know, I don't know much about him, but he's the champion of the party, and he's filibustering, he's out there fighting, and then he just rolled over and voted, you know, voted for
him. No, he's a toolbox, just like all of them, all 535 of them.
I think we're in an interesting.
Okay, time. That just makes it worse, in my opinion.
I'm so excited for 2016 because I think the parties are all losing their voices. It's good as everything gets renewed. Like the Republicans have lost their voice for a long time. Like McCain, Romney, Cruz, like nobody, Ryan.
Right.
Nobody really knows what it is. Well, the Democrats have been lucky because Obama's been like, you know, figurehead of the whole movement. But he's going to fly off into the sunset. Who's gonna show up? Hillary? You know,
Rand Paul,
Nancy Pelosi. Who's going to show up as a voice of the left?
2016, Rand Paul.
They say there's a bench on the left.
Hopefully, I'm not even.
Oh my God!
and even the Palin Bachmans, they're gonna go off into the.
No, I mean, but she has a very good point about homosexuality and how to fix it.
But I think we're on the precipice. I just can't wait until the 2016 because I think a lot of the old tired ass voices. I said ass. All the old voices that we're used to.
Ass is not a bad word.
are gonna start going away, and where I think we're gonna have a brand new battle. And I'm looking forward to the Paul Ryan versus.
I'm not because I think Paul Ryan is a tool.
You think he's a tool?
Really? Yes.
I like Paul Ryan.
Here.
He's a tool. I go back when I first heard that he was Romney's running mate. All right, you know, younger guy, seems like it'll be all right. And then I saw him in the debate, and he was just trying to be too cool, and he ruined it.
I like him though.
I don't like him.
Yeah, I think he's too slick.
I think he tries to be too slick.
He's trying to be slick and failing. It's like double fail.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some good things, like when he was trying to take, or he took Obama to task about, I think it was about Obamacare.
Yeah.
That was good.
Well, you could,
but
I can hope is
so
that
it didn't go anywhere.
You
know,
he carries himself as, an economist, basically. You know, that's his wheelhouse, is economics. And, I mean, early on, the first time you ever heard about Paul Ryan, it was because Obama was singing his praises, right? Because it was some budgetary legislation that he was, you know, championing. And Obama was like, hey, you guys need to listen to Paul Ryan. He's the only voice of reason that you've got.
All I can hope in my good impressions of him, and I saw the debate, that was pretty bad too, was that he was hamstrung between his true beliefs and the Romney campaign. Like he couldn't rail against what Romney was saying.
Yeah,
like,
I think he would be very different as
so he had to kind of weave this little line, and I think it was hard for him.
As the top of the ticket, I think he would be very different.
Did you already do Rob's top three?
What?
We already do Rob's top three stories, or no? Yeah.
Yes.
They were in Rob's form.
You ran through them? Well, that took
it was
like
the rap. The rap was the top three.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, then I have two honorable mentions. Can I hit them real quick? Or you
go
want
ahead,
to do
man.
Something else? Honorable mention number one, JFK's 50th, the 50th anniversary of his assassination. I watched...
Back to the left.
Right. Back and to the left. I watched... two documentaries on it, and it was interesting to see.
Did you watch Dark Legacy?
Didn't watch that yet.
I still haven't.
I still haven't.
Did you watch the Seinfeld episode?
With the Keith Hernandez?
Keith Hernandez. Keith Hernandez! No, I didn't. But these were not the typical, let's keep showing the Zapruder film over and over. Actually, none of them did they show the full footage. I thought that was interesting. That's kind of a... going away from what they used to do, but they had other news footage from the time. How different some things were, like the dudes are there smoking on TV, and the guy, one of the reporters, he's interviewing somebody, and he's standing there with a cigarette while he's interviewing and smoking the cigarette. But then the similarities, they pulled this family off the street, you know, you were right there, what did you see? And it was the well, I heard this and blah. Some of the things
I heard seven gunshots and
even the, you know, now when there's breaking news, there's all kinds of misinformation. Same thing was happening. And I get that it's, I mean, that was a huge story.
Right.
But maybe it's not so different now from what it was before. It's as far as they want to get the story out, so they just start throwing out. And there was one reporter who kept calling Lee Harvey Oswald Lee Harold Oswald.
This is his brother.
Yeah. But the other part of it was the, I don't think I ever appreciated the brutality of it. Some of the footage I saw now, it was more of the motorcade, and you see Jackie, I think I have somehow come to appreciate her more. And you see her smiling and waving, and doesn't seem anything fake about these two.
Right, right.
And then next second, she's picking her husband's head off the back of the car. And right. Just what she went through during that, unimaginable. So I think for whatever reason, it hit me more than it used to when I would see the film.
Yeah.
So, and number five, Rob's surprise addition to the family. Didn't bother to tell us.
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, I got
congratulations, Rob.
Another little rugrat. Another little liberal in the making.
Yay. Yep, we always make her head face to the left.
Yeah.
So she doesn't get any kind of head flattening on that side. Little Anna Rose. She's a good baby.
All right.
Yay. Sorry, it didn't come up.
Whatever, you're dead to me.
She's big. 4 months, kicking around.
So on the JFK thing, I would add, you know, I mentioned Dark Legacy. I think it's an intriguing documentary. I would recommend
especially
everybody watch
half.
It.
Well.
And then most recently, Nova did an episode about the JFK assassination where they had a father and son team who did what is widely regarded as the first ballistics investigation of the entire thing. You know, like they never went to the trouble of doing ballistics testing on the bullets that were recovered, one of which is the magic bullet, and the other one was found on a gurney in the hospital, you know, that they assumed came out of Governor Connolly's wrist or whatever. It was an interesting episode of Nova.
This one of the comments during, it was, I believe it was made by a reporter, not a comment of the narrator, but a reporter said that Lee Harvey Oswald being shot by Jack Ruby, the reporter said none of the Dallas police believe that Ruby was acting out of love for the president. They believe, to a man, he was silencing Lee Harvey Oswald. It's like, whoa, that... You know, that's a big statement coming from a reporter right then.
Right.
How he came to know that's how all the police felt or what, you know. I don't know,
Ruby was at the press conference when they were talking about stuff. There was some press conference early on. Hmm. They were describing the early information. He was in the back room when he was, you know. Some stuff I like, you know, that people get excited about, you know, Civil War buffs or Revolutionary War buffs and
right.
World War II, like different things have different levels of interest for me. But that somehow this whole thing, like I could see myself.
And back to Snowden. If there's anything he's going to release that might be helpful, let's put to bed some of these mysteries of the country.
Just drop,
right.
some, drop some bombs.
Right.
Hey, check. Probably meant check.
Find the Kennedy files and release them.
Okay. Going out there, I'm a little younger than you guys. I have a lot longer to live.
Keep the world nice for us.
So, what does it matter at this point? I mean, like, so, I guess it was never proven in the court of law that he was the assassin, correct?
Yeah. No.
But the House Representative.
The Warren Commission.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
You're it. So why is it a big deal to find out, like, don't know. I kind of get it, but like,
It's this. I like when like the Snowden thing. When it dropped that the NSA was spying, they could spy on any domestic call and was could track the emails that they wanted to. Like that was no surprise for me. But it's a step up to say that the CIA or NSA's own government has killed their own president in an assassination. I mean
But like, one thing is you can actually have tangible evidence. Four, which is the Snowden effect.
Yeah.
The other thing you don't, you have a Mel Gibson movie about nothing tangible whatsoever.
Mel Gibson movie?
Kevin Costner.
You mean...
Oh.
You mean yeah. Oliver Stone.
No, he means there's the movie Conspiracy Theory is Mel Gibson and the Taxi Driver.
Oh,
that was one of the worst movies ever. Oh.
There's still a reference to be made in that.
Yeah. I thought you meant I thought you meant Oliver Stone's JFK.
No, it was just conspiracy in general. Like
You should watch Dark Legacy.
But is there tangible evidence?
Yes.
I think there probably is somewhere. I think there are probably. I would guess.
And we didn't walk on the moon.
George H.W. Bush.
And we didn't walk on the moon.
Oh, see.
George H.W. Bush killed Kennedy.
Says that movie.
You got to watch it, man. And then tell me what you think. All right. So, we are out of time. The janitor is sweeping up the floor here, and it's
checks are coming.
Yeah. We just got our check, so. Andrea's telling us we don't have to go home, but we can't stay here.
Andy the Outlaw.
We've watched all the Josie Outlaw videos.
I highly suggest it.
What?
Andrea. Rob can't stand up right now.
Happens before the end of the year.
We are?
So,
yeah.
I think we're probably done, and I want to wish all of our listeners a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we will see you next time.
Bye now.
Good night. Sorry, I forgot what I normally say.
And then video popped up today of the guy interpreting or doing whatever it was he was doing at other events, too. So he's done this before. And I would love to know what this guy's story is. I mean, was this a prank? Is he a scam artist? Is he just very, very bad at his job? So we brought in a real sign language interpreter. Justin, where's Justin? Justin, come on in here. This is Justin. Hi, Justin. How long have you been... How long have you been a sign language interpreter?
About 5 years.
All right, so let's watch this guy and tell us what he seems to be signing, if anything at all, okay?
Sure. I support basic salutations here, salutations. Inside, joining in this week's cigarette, inside to prove and on, to support, I would please to say, from me to you. Talking to you so far.
Is he even attempting to make sense?
It's complete gibberish.
Okay, all right. Well, we have one more.
We applaud you and thank you for that.
Hello. Welcome so far. Well, cigarette join. Bringing in different to you. A circle. And I would like to pray this offering. Basically, this is fun. All of these balls to prove this is good. I'm sorry.
Oh, he's really sorry.